This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I'm thinking about getting the recorder laid down. I'm concentrating so hard on that that I don't start, this is Phil Farron, so we'll pretend like I did. Anyways, so it's been a good week. We're pottering along, getting the things done that need to get done, and we don't need that, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. I had notes for something completely different today, and then I came across a Joe Rogan podcast, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, we're talking about this. But we'll get back to that in a minute. It's been a good week at work. We've been able to get some things done, puttering along, trying to hit the deadlines we've been given, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all fine. Writing is going fine. I'm actually on track for this week, which I'm at the point now where I'm up to like 100 and... Am I in the 140s yet? I think I am in the 140s now. Sorry. Yeah, so I think I'm about 144, and I normally go to 150, and everything seems to be on track for that. So, yeah, I think I shouldn't have any trouble getting book 22 blocked in the next week and a half, and then I have a couple of weeks to do a read-through and do any last-minute tweaks, and then start building the beta version to try to decide what's going to be on the cover, and then build the AI cover and see where we are. It's interesting because some of these AI systems now, you can build theme books or style books, and you can give them a bunch of pictures, and then you could ask it to create a picture, and it will create it in that style as well. So that's pretty interesting. So I was actually thinking that what I might do is I might upload all the covers to this point, and then figure out what I want on this cover and just tell it to make the cover for me, and then I would see what happened. So that should be interesting. Maybe give that a try this time just to see, and then probably once I get to halftime and things slow down a little bit, or maybe once I get to the end of these books, I just might rip back through there and redo the covers, because it can be done fast enough with AI that then I could have everything just same thematically, and I could do some other interesting stuff with the spines on the covers, because, I was just making some of that stuff up as I went when I made the covers. So, we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, costumes going fine. I'm still working on Tell a Fairy Tale Day, and that all seems to be going fine. I just have to get the actual puppet stage finished up, and then I have to work out exactly how I'm going to do the presentation, because I've got all the little puppets on their little sticks. Sticks come down from the top, and then I just hold the stick. They're not marionettes or anything like that. We ain't that sophisticated. But it'll be cute. I think people will like it. I just have to figure out how to hold multiple puppets at the same time, but I think I'm going to get a little piece of rubber and put holes in it, put the sticks in that, and then, that way I can do the thing. I just have to work out the presentation now at this point. But Jesus has helped me thus far. I'm fully expecting that when I get to the point where I'm working out the presentation, that he will have what I need to get the presentation worked out. So we'll be all right. I'm not actually going home tonight. Not actually driving home. I'm sort of driving home. We are, our small group is meeting at the Cracker Barrel at 6:30 tonight. It is now 4:45, so I'm just going to drive over to Cracker Barrel and find a little place to park, and then I'm going to do some writing and then eat and then head home. And then Aiden is coming tomorrow morning, and so I have to get up, get a shower, get dressed in my costume. Steampunk Cupid tomorrow for Valentine's Day. And then once I get dressed in my costume, drop him off at school, go have breakfast with a friend, etc., etc. So all that's good. This week, I was going to talk about a conversation that Jordan Peterson had with a medical or a biologist, a researcher who's doing studies on nutrition and effect on human body and all those types of things. Really good podcast. Sorry. I gotta drag this back where it's supposed to be. At least it didn't slam into the windshield. Really good podcast. But then I came across this Joe Rogan podcast with a guy named Mike Benz. And I had heard him on another podcast, on the Dark Horse podcast, with Brent Weinstein. Weinstein. I always have to pause and hopefully I'm saying that correct. Not Weinstein, I think it's Weinstein. And I really enjoyed him on that podcast, although he was making an effort to push a certain viewpoint that he felt was necessary, which I understood what he was saying, but with Joe Rogan's, they just got down really to the nitty-gritty of it more. And I should preface this with saying that I am feel sadly vindicated in listening to this stuff, because I don't know when it was, months and months ago, I had thought about the people who had said they couldn't find America in the book of Revelation. It talks about the kings of the east, it talks about the kings of the north. There's no real kings of the west, though, and people have said, well, you know, if this is supposed to be a prophecy of the end times, then, you know, where's America in this? And why don't we see America in this? And, you know, that was an interesting question for me at one time. When I was younger and cared more about the jot and tittle of prophecy. I don't care quite as much about that as I used to. But... you know, it's an interesting question. If we actually are living in the end times, you would think that America would show up somewhere in that. And I came to the conclusion, sadly, multiple months ago, that in fact, America is in the book of Revelation, and that we are the whore of Babylon. Because when you read about the things that the whore of Babylon has done, and you look at America and see what secular America has pushed onto the world, there are ways that you can make the easy application. I do recognize that America has also been the most charitable nation in the world. We send more missionaries around the world than anyone else. So there is this dichotomy, but I don't believe that just because we've done all those other things, that necessarily means that God doesn't look at all the other things that we have exported around the world in terms of hedonistic practices and terrible food choices and tearing down of other governments and sowing dissension around the world if it suits what we believe is our purposes, etc., etc., etc. And so I don't necessarily believe that just because we send missionaries around the world that that immediately means that God would never label America the horror of Babylon. And in fact, this last couple of weeks, as allocations have begun to come out and continue to come out about the operation of some of the governmental agencies that Doge has exposed, I think all of that makes a stronger case for having a label like the Horror of Babylon. Because a lot of it is just unbelievable. All the things that were being done in the name of America. And it's extremely unfortunate. In conjunction with all of that USAID stuff that has come out, there's a lot of it that's just really sad. So there is the Joe Rogan Experience. It's episode 2272. Mike Benz is the name of the guy that he is interviewing. Mike Benz has been investigating statecraft and the things that the United States has been involved in around the world, I think since 2016. And it is nothing short of astonishing. And most astonishing of it has been the fact that it's all out in the open. In fact, you can go to, they say, what is government? There's a government accountability website where it just lists all the things that USAID has been spending money on. And then, of course, as Doge has gone into USAID, they've come out with a whole bunch of other things that were covert monies that USAID was spending money on, and glory. You know, it's the way that we have been going around the world with a heavy hand and forcing people into situations and sponsoring terrorist groups and sponsoring media outlets to do hit pieces on politicians that we didn't like so that we could stir up enough anger against them to have them deposed so that we could get someone in who supposedly would be more to our liking. It's astonishing. So I highly recommend listening to Joe Rogan and Mike Benz. What did I say? Episode 2270 something. You can find it on YouTube. It's really amazing. But as part of all that, they brought in another aspect to USAID that I had never heard of and never, frankly, would have dreamed of. By the way, it is USAID, not USAID. The USAID people would love for you to call it USAID. And the reason they would love for you to call it USAID is because what they're going to try to tell you is, well, we give aid to other countries. So that's why we're called USAID. But in fact, The AID in aid doesn't stand for aid. It stands for, and I looked this up and now I can't remember. But it stands for, what does USAID stand for? It stands for the U.S. Agency for International Development. Now, that's kind of an anachronism because international development means it's the U.S. agency for us to go over and strong-arm international countries into doing what we want. So when you say international development, it means going over to other nations and having them develop the way we want them to develop. So there's a lot of strong arming involved, there's a lot of manipulation involved, there's a lot of sponsoring of terrorist groups involved, a lot of untoward things, a lot of psyops being run on populations around the world. And I do have to say, it's very interesting because sometimes people that I respect, I've heard them talk, and I'm going to look something up here while I'm talking. I've heard them talk, and I've thought, okay, I think you're a little out in the deep end there. And yet, now that we have the stuff coming out at USAID, maybe it's not as far-fetched as I thought. So one of the people who spoke out against COVID and the COVID vaccines and all the secrecy surrounding COVID and all the things that the government was telling us to do in COVID, one of those people was a man named Robert Malone. As I understand it, Robert Malone was instrumental in the development of the mRNA vaccine technology. I don't know what part he played, but there was some piece of it. Now, there have been people who have said, no, he's not, no, he wasn't, you know. And then there's other people that say, yes, he was, and that's just misinformation. You trying to say he wasn't, and, you know, it goes back and forth and back and forth. I don't know what the truth is on that. But I do know that while a lot of what he was saying made perfect sense, and he appeared to be able to back up what he was saying with facts, there was one part of it that I've heard him talk about that I've thought, oh, that's a little bit beyond the pale for me. I don't know if I can go that far. And it specifically had to do with fifth generation warfare. Robert Malone made claims, serious claims about the U.S. government actually running psyops on the U.S. population during COVID, that they were running fifth-generation warfare techniques against the U.S. population by controlling the news, by issuing edicts that would create a sense of uncertainty and fear and attempting to induce mass delusion and mass effect, psychosis, etc., etc., etc. And it is difficult when you look back on COVID with the information we have now and with the continuing revelations of information, and you can see that, honestly, whatever the government told us during COVID, you pretty much would have the best outcome if you just completely ignored everything they told you and did the exact opposite. You know, they told you, stay indoors. You got to stay indoors. No, it's really better for you to get out and get in the sun. If you just stay indoors, you're going to spread it among your family. It's really better to get out and get in the sun. You know, you have to wear masks. No, the masks really did no good whatsoever, because unless you have a properly fitted N95 mask, you've got gaps and it was airborne and you're going to catch it anyways. Certainly there's the whole drama with the vaccines, and no one advised us of the risks, and everyone overestimated the lethality of COVID. There was just a whole bunch of stuff. Lots of information was suppressed. So somebody like a Robert Malone had taken all of that and made the bold claim, and he had made it vehemently, that in fact America had been subject to psychological warfare. And that these agencies that were supposed to be working around the world, in fact, had turned on America, on the population of America, and they were using all their techniques to push towards the outcome that they wanted. And as silly as it sounds, it could very well be that the outcome that they wanted was a massive wealth transfer. Because we certainly accomplished that. And Joe Rogan at one point talks about this with Mike Benz and puts a number of $3 trillion on this. Because not only did the government give billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical companies to develop the vaccines, you know, they made the huge push to try to silence anyone who was suggesting any other solution beside the vaccines. And if Biden would have had his way, he would have mandated that everyone in America get shot. Thankfully, there were some people who were willing to stand up and fight a lot of that stuff and slow it down from happening. And thankfully, some of us who didn't necessarily work for anyone, we would have been harder to get to. But vaccine passports as a whole, gratefully, never did manifest themselves. So they were discussed. They were discussed with great interest in many people, in many areas. And even to the point that people were saying, well, if you're not going to get vaccinated, you know, if you show up at a hospital and you've got COVID and you can't breathe, well, that's just too bad. So they're very much was a push towards the condemning, and criticizing of anyone who was not willing to get stuck with this experimental drug. So we see all those things happening, but then I guess for me, the issue of, was that all a coordinated effort? I certainly believed it was coordinated from somewhere, but I tended to believe it was coordinated more from a spiritual domain than a political domain. That, yeah, the reason that these media companies all had the same idea, the reason that everybody camped onto the same thing at the same time, was not necessarily any kind of coordinated effort. because that would be a lot of work and it would be amazing if they actually pulled it off, but that it was, there were spiritual forces at work that were determined that they were going to be as destructive as they could. And that's the world, the flesh, and the devil. However, however, having listened to this podcast from Joe Rogan and Mike Benz, there is another aspect to all of this, and that is when you hear them talking about how USAID has for years kept journalists on the payroll specifically so they could write hit pieces that would then cause governments to take action against their citizens or their leaders, all of it starts to sound strangely familiar. And when Mike Benz quotes a statistic to say that 90% of the journalistic endeavors of the newspapers, of the news outlets in Ukraine, 90% were on the dole from USAID, you start saying, oh, that sounds very familiar. Especially when you start to hear that USAID also gave $8 million a year to Politico, $4 million a year to the New York Times, if I've got my facts correct. You know, especially when you start hearing about those things and then you go, huh, that sounds like exactly the same topic or tactics going on. When USAID is bragging about how they spent $20 million in such and such a country and they were able to get all of these hit pieces done and were able to depose all these political people that weren't, you know, towing the line for Americanism. And then you sort of take a step back and you start looking at what happened during COVID and that coordination, and the coordination is of exactly the same caliber as what happened during COVID, where everyone just seemed to form up so quickly that there are no other alternatives. All you can do is just keep your fingers crossed and wait for the vaccine, and then as soon as it comes out, you need to take it as quickly as possible. And you listen to these things and you just start thinking, oh, this sounds very familiar. And then on this program where Joe Rogan is talking to Mike Benz, they start talking about the fact that according to the records that have been uncovered, if I've gotten the story correctly, in fact, USAID was giving grants to EcoHealth Alliance, who was then giving grants to the Wuhan Institute for Virology. So USAID probably was funding the development of the COVID-19 virus. And USAID was also paying money to journalists. And its normal reason for doing that was to order up whatever hit pieces they wanted. You start looking back at Robert Malone's claims that we were all subjected to fifth generation warfare and a psyops program. You begin to line up where you say, well, the United States government had the means, you know, it's like trying to prove someone murdered somebody. The United States government had the means to run a PSYOP fifth-generation warfare thing against its citizens, because USAID has been doing that in other countries around the world for decades. And in fact, there are cases where in the last decade, I think it is, they had been rapped on the knuckles for targeting U.S. citizens with some of their dirty tricks. One of them being that they dug up dirt on Rudy Giuliani. No, not Rudy Giuliani. Apologies. Rudy Giuliani, and then that dirt that they dug up and got a journalist to write about was then subsequently used to help impeach Trump in his first term. So you've got a governmental agency paying for investigations to drum up information that is then used in a prosecution. I mean, it's exactly the same thing that USAID was doing. So they certainly had the means to run a PSYOP against the entire country. And apparently they had the motive to do it because a lot of the political people hated Trump. And I think a lot of the way that COVID was handled specifically because there were certain forces that saw COVID as the only way they were going to get Trump out of the way. Now, of course, that's backfired on them, but because if it hadn't been for COVID, it would have been very difficult to unseat Trump. Although, as things have worked out, I think they've worked out well because the Trump that we have now in office was not the Trump that we had the first time around. Which is a whole other discussion. So, means, motive, and opportunity, I think, is what it comes down to when you're talking about convicting someone of murder. So we know USAID had the means. We know USAID had the motive, potentially. And we know that USAID had the opportunity because they were already paying all of the news gathering organizations. And maybe that's why the news or gathering organizations all seem to fall in line so rapidly. And all tout the same things. For instance, that ivermectin was a veterinary drug and it was a horse paste and you shouldn't take it because it was meant for horses, which was just a complete lie. I mean, there's no way to say that ivermectin is veterinary medicine and it's not suitable for humans without knowing that you are lying through your teeth. Because at that point, they were making that claim. It had been dosed to humans 3.5 billion with a B, billion times. And anyone who simply looked up ivermectin on the internet would come across that fact. And the fact that it had been awarded, its discovery had been awarded the Nobel Prize in chemistry or biology, can't remember which. Because of the wondrous things that it did for humans. If you want to say it was ineffective, that's one thing. Even though it wasn't. But to try to push people away from it simply because you're saying, you know, that's a dog dewormer, that's just unconscionable. So, you know, who pushed all those lies? And it appears now that USAID pushed them, or at least they helped fund them. And one of the statements that Mike Benz makes on the Joe Rogan podcast over and over is that the statement about USAID that is often made is that if it's too dirty for the CIA to handle, get USAID to do it. And in fact, he makes the claim that for a lot of the things that the covert agencies were not allowed to do, they would hand it off to USAID. USAID would do it under the table, but it wasn't illegal for them to do it because they weren't a clandestine agency. So it's really fascinating. It's 3 hours long. It's really fascinating. I highly recommend that you go listen to it because it is eye-opening and it is both sad and shocking and unreal and sad that that's where we are. But, you know, we as human beings need redemption. And left to our own devices, we developed Luciferian instincts, and we can take ourselves to some very, very dark places. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it. Well, no, I haven't made it home. I've made it to Cracker Barrel, and then I'm going home later.